Yeah. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Sorry I was late coming in there. I was typing with my friend Nick Hazelton, who does... he is our 15-year-old Fiend fan who is also a yak farmer. And the first episode of his great podcast, the Anarcho-Yactalivism podcast, came out today. He is a yak farmer and an anarcho-capitalist, and he put up a really well-produced 10-minute first podcast, which was the length, I think, of the first Fiends episode, if I recall correctly. And I got to say, except for a couple plosives, I told him he needs to be like an inch further away from the mic. This and the fact that like the end of it, he just kind of stops. It doesn't like, you know, say, all right, we'll be back later or whatever, and he'll fix that. But otherwise, overall, this is literally the best first podcast, best sounding first podcast I've ever heard from anything that's not like major media. You know, I mean, like maybe the first, you know, new NPR of some show sounds better. But yeah, I sure know how to raise up them good podcasters. I gave them audio tips and it sounds really good. You heard it, Chandler?
I haven't heard it yet, but I'm definitely going to give it a listen.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it right now. Just a minute to give you a taste here. I'll just hold the mic up.
I'm not an expert on anything, and I'm not very educated. I'm just gifted with a skeptical mind and the ability to understand things. If you don't understand something, look it up or ask me about it. Remember, the internet is your friend. Most of the time. We're going to be talking about skepticism today. I'm a skeptic. Everybody is to a point. But some are more skeptical than others. Skepticism is basically just doubting and questioning things. It's critical thinking. When any idea is presented, a real skeptic would question it and doubt it. They wouldn't discount it or consider it wrong. They just wouldn't believe it. For example, you tell a skeptic that yaks run 20 miles per hour, she would think, oh, really? Prove it. A skeptic doesn't believe that you're wrong. They just believe that you haven't been proven right yet. And they will ask.
So anyway, yeah, it's he talks about anarcho-capitalism and economics, and it's pretty I'm just pretty proud of having helped this guy out. We bought him the mic, and I gave him a bunch, because he said he wanted to do a podcast, and I had an extra mic, and I gave him a mic, and I gave him some tips, and walked him through a bunch of stuff, and helped him set it up. And you can go to it at anyak.com. anyak.com. I asked him why he didn't get it without the hyphen, like just anyak.com, and he said because that site's taken and it's some Russian model and her name is Anyak. So just try going to, I'll put this in the show notes, but it's anyak.com. And I'm so proud of Nick, man. This is just awesome and I love it. It's great. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. So,
well, it's what you've been setting out to do with the Freedom Fiends, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to replace myself, but this is like the next generation. Like, you know, when I'm either droned and dead or like too rich and famous to bother showing up to do the show anymore, and I'd still do it. Yeah, or just too busy like I am tonight with, if you didn't show up tonight, I was just going to edit a movie on the show and talk about doing it while I was doing it. I'll talk about that in a bit, but I'm really busy with something that I'm working on, you know, getting back from Porkfest and catching up on things and a new project I have, which is the anarchist cut of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. I'll talk about that in a little bit, but when in a couple of years when I'm just too something to bother showing up most nights, I'll still show up once a month or so and it'll be a big event. But, when you guys are like you're all the A seaters and you have your own B seaters, like this guy, well, he probably won't be a B seater on the Fiends because he'll be having his own thing, but he's like the next generation of podcasters and we're raising him up, man. You know, they've said of some like liberty people, like, you know, violent liberty people, like, oh, like someone said of Alex Jones, like, he doesn't build bombs, he builds bombers, which I think is complete crap. I don't think he encourages violence at all. I think he does some good work in his own very paranoid, like, oh my God, I can't sleep when I listen to him kind of way. But, you know, I think he does good work. But, you know, I don't build I don't build bombs. I build podcasters who go out and talk about peaceful gun owning liberty. And for more of that, you can see the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Did you want to jump in here, Chandler, or should I just barrel on through with this intro?
Barrel on through.
To the other side. All right. So we went to Porkfest. Talk a bit about Porkfest. What's Porkfest?
Porkfest was awesome. Porkfest was a gathering of liberty-minded folks. And it's interesting this year because I went last year to Porkfest 10. And I noticed there was some there was still a lot of Free Staters and minarchists, which is all good. I'm not dissing those folks. They're pretty cool to hang out and talk with. They just haven't taken that last step. But this year, I noticed a lot more ANCAPs, ANCAP hippies too. I think we discussed hippies, that.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, it's like yeah. I've known a lot of hippies in my life, and I've generally liked them. Except even before I really understood economics, I grokked that they generally didn't understand economics, and now we're getting hippies that could teach Austrian economics, and it's a pretty cool thing.
It is an awesome thing. The other thing I noticed too is last year you had a lot, well, not a lot, but you had a few political speakers. Like I remember Gary Johnson showed up and there was a couple others. It was none of that this year. There was a lot of speakers and a lot of events, but I don't think, aside from local politicians, I remember there was a guy that attended one of Bill's speeches, and he had given a speech earlier in the day, and he was running for like local state legislature or something. We had some interesting conversations with him. But for the most part, you know, you had more people like Bill and Ben speaking. You had gardening, beekeeping, brewing, all kinds of cool little seminars and stuff. So it was quite an experience.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep. I loved it. I had a great time. Mostly just, I didn't go to any events I wasn't a part of, but, you know, it wasn't like I didn't appreciate that people were doing a lot of events. I actually liked it. There are a few people that have complained like, oh, there was too much, like, you know, nobody's doing stuff and not enough rock stars. And I'm like, I think you should get rid of all the rock stars. I don't think you need them for a draw anymore. And it's kind of like you could watch them on YouTube anytime. You know, I'd rather have all the beekeeping things and all the make your own A&R and earrings and vape and like, you know, podcasting. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I really like the DIY thing. And I barely knew that Nick Gillespie was talking. And I certainly didn't go to it. Not that I don't like or anything, just, you know, I'd rather sit at the campfire and talk with, you know, Nikki Darling about making vapes or something, or talk with Ben Stone in his trailer about, you know, what food would be like in Libpear. And really I didn't talk about tyranny much either. Cause there were some people talking about, oh, the government's doing this, the government, and of course they will. But it's kind of like, I felt like we were in Libpear. We were in libertarian paradise for a week. And it's like, in Libpear, you wouldn't sit around talking about Barack Obama unless it was in a history class, you know? You wouldn't talk about government unless it was a history class.
Well, I found myself, first and foremost, Porkfest was a vacation for me. I haven't taken a week-long vacation in probably, I don't know, 5-10 years.
Me neither, and it was a working vacation for me, too.
Yeah, and I spent a good amount, like, you know, I went to the Fiends barbecue, and I sat and chatted with a lot of people. I just kind of walked around and chilled out.
Yeah.
You know, that was my big thing. I did get to see a few of the speeches. You know, I tried to make it to most of Bill's because I find his stuff very interesting, and same with Ben. And unfortunately, a couple of theirs, they scheduled to the same time, which I thought was very counterproductive.
Who did?
Porkfest had scheduled, I think, two of Bill and Ben's speeches at the same time.
I see. I don't think that's a problem, and I don't blame Porkfest for that either. You know, like somebody was complaining, like, "Oh, there were two movies I wanted to see at the same time." I think that's the market working, man. Literally, it's like you go to the one that you think is better, and you catch the next one on YouTube, or you download it, or steal it on BitTorrent or something.
Well, that's basically what I was hoping for, because I know. What was it? Rob from J-Rev Productions. They were trying to film everything.
Oh, they're already working on the documentary. They already have the trailer up for the Porkfest documentary they're making, and I'm in it. I like it.
Yeah,
I'd like it even if I wasn't in it. But it's a really bad shot of me. It's I'm a fat guy, but it makes me, you know, it's there are angles you can film me from where I'm less fat, but it's just lying. Well, it's truth. You know, it's truth. What?
Huh? What do they say that TV adds 20 pounds or something?
Yeah, and actually, cameras don't add 10 pounds. They exaggerate whatever you are. Like if you're really, really skinny, they subtract 10 pounds and make you look Biafran or something, you know? It's not just they add 10 pounds. They exaggerate any physical extremism you have, physical extremities, extreme, you know, if you're one direction or the other, they make it, they bring it out more. Yeah.
I see. But regardless, you know,
I'm just vain. I'm just vain. And like, you know, I'm 50 and I sit in front of a computer all day saving the world. And I'm like, wow, I wish I could sit in front of this computer and not be fat.
Well, you know, we all do what we can, right?
If there was a pork fest every other week, I wouldn't be fat.
Oh, no kidding, huh? Just like we were at the top of the hill and just walking down to the pavilion and the tent.
Yeah.
And stuff for all the speeches or to hang out with people. And then like you'll get down there. I remember a couple of times I'd get down there and I'd forget my water bottle. I'd call up my kid, be like, hey, bring down my water bottle. No, we're hanging out up here. So I have to walk back up the hill, go get it, come back down. And all those stairs to the media studio, which was also really cool. I love the media room setup they have there. Last year. I only went to one live radio show, and I didn't sit in very long because it was late at night.
I'd kind of almost like to show films there next year. Do they ever show films in the media room?
I don't think they do it in the media room.
Because I showed films outdoors first in the same place that they had the karaoke in, and there were 25 people at that showing for DIY or Die, and then I showed Guns and Weed in the children's indoor outdoor place up by the pool, and there were like 35 people for that show, and it was really cool. But it's like if you had 35 people watching a movie in the media room, it would feel packed. And you know, it's not like, oh, I need to feel like there's more people there. You know, as people show whatever it is, people show up. Most people have seen both those movies anyway. But, you know, there's something about like kind of being
in a closed space.
Yeah, in a closed space,
it's more intimate.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the media room would be really good for that. I'm going to talk. Well, we only got 1 minute left. I'll talk about what I'm doing in the next segment. So anyway, Porkfest was fabulous. I recommend it for everybody. And yeah, man. Closing comments? More?
It was awesome. I want more. I want more of it. I didn't want to come home.
I didn't want to come home either. Yeah, it took us like 26 hours to get home door to door, even flying and driving. And like, they lost our luggage in Denver. We spent the night in Denver, waited and picked it up in the morning. We were going to spend the night there anyway because we got in at midnight. But yeah, it was quite a cluster fark, and we survived, and it was great. It was wonderful. We'll be back with more Worms after this.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah, this is Freedom Fiends, Mr. Michael Dean, on a cool Wyoming night. Hold your kitties tight. We're back at the windowless bunker, and it's hot, and we got the windows open, and got our armed ex-Marine guards outside. Government-trained, but not government-affiliated. Guarding all the entrances. Keep us safe at night in our homes. It's nice. And yeah, man, I want to talk about, I miss Porkfest.
Me too. Coming back to the real world kind of sucked.
Yeah, it's kind of lame, man. But, you know, you do what you got to do. So I had something interesting happen. I watched my movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, with a live audience at Porkfest. Now, we made this movie 3 or 4 years ago. Got to be 4 years now because we finished it before we started doing the Freedom Fiends podcast. And so the show's been running for 3 years and 2 months. So it was more, I think it was 4 years ago we finished it.
Well, yeah, it was interesting because when I first watched the movie, it was after I had listened to you guys for a while. And I noticed the minarchist tones in the movie.
The first 10 episodes of the Freedom Fiends, Nima was an anarchist when we made the movie. I think he was a minarchist when we, when he made those rap songs, because that rap song like quotes Jefferson or something. But when we made the movie, he was an anarchist already, anarcho-capitalist, and I was a minarchist. And shortly after completing the movie took like 8 months. By the time the movie was over and out, I was pretty much an anarchist. And we started the Freedom Fiends podcast when the movie was finishing up. And pretty much by the 10th episode of the Fiends, you can hear if you listen to the first episodes, like me going from anarchist to anarchist. And by about episode 10 or 11 or 12, I was straight up ANCAP and have been for 3 years now. So, and I haven't seen that movie since it was done. Cause when I finish a piece of art that takes like a year, 80 hours a day, 8 months, whatever, I'm done. I'm just like, I'm done with this. I'm putting it to bed. I don't even want to look at it. And I watched the movie with an audience at Porkfest. And I was just kind of going like, ugh, why are we doing, why is there all this like anarchist, this minarchist stuff? And there's all this constitution licking. And, you know, to be clear, like, I don't mind constitutionalists. I have some of my best friends are constitutionalists and I treat them like real people. But there's two problems I have with it. One is morally, it's like, it's a contract I didn't sign. One is effectiveness. It doesn't work. It's stepped on all the time. It's not going to save us. And I guess the third is, in some ways, it really looks like it was set up to let the government do whatever it wants. You know, it's the Bill of Rights, but it doesn't really do much. Everything else just seems to override it in the minds of tyrants. And in a way, I think we're all actually at like less freedom than we might have been without it. And I'm certainly not like one of these leftists who wants to, you know, scrap it and put it in some like Bill of Human Rights of like, hey, whatever you're doing is loud there, brother, man. What are you doing?
Oh, just shuffling things around.
Yeah, we're on radio. Don't stop. this is a teaching hospital. So, you know, I was watching this thing and it was like, I just really felt that that it wasn't where I'm at now and it wasn't where the truth is at. So I was watching it and just going like, ugh, like scene after scene where people are like, and the Constitution says, and the Constitution will save us, and we need to get back to blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, no, that's not truth. So I decided then and there to make an anarchist cut of it. Like basically just keep it as is, but cut out all of the Constitution licking and all of the, we need to do this, and all of the citizens and all of the kind of collectivist small government stuff. And so what I did was, opening up the whole project would be nearly impossible because I did it on a different computer. I don't have it anymore. And hey, Garrett, I'll call you back during the break. I couldn't open it up. I tried like putting the drive that it was on down the basement. I brought it up and tried putting it in the computer. And it's just like, it would have been like weeks of like lining everything up and connecting it and moving things around. So I gave up on it. And then I told Derek Freeman that, and he said, oh, do what I did. Cause he made a long cut of Derek J's victimless crime spree. And he did a shorter edit of it. And he just did it from like a high res output of it, like just chopped. And you know, okay. Like occasionally that'll make the music jump or whatever, cause the music's locked in with the picture. But then you just put a little fade in, you just do a little bit here and there. And I'm really good at that kind of stuff. And I started doing it this morning, and right before the show, I had cut 20 minutes out of this 99 minute movie. And took a pass of it, took another pass of it, cut as I went. I'm pretty much close to done. I'm doing my third pass. I'm about a third of the way through it, and it's down to 20 minutes shorter, and so much better of a movie, man.
So you're just shortening it, huh?
Yeah, I'll be releasing that soon.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. All right. Cool guys and groovy gals. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we have a caller. We have a young gentleman named G. Fox, who
suddenly I'm all fired up.
Yeah, who says that he taught me how to teach people, and I don't remember this. So explain, please.
I didn't say you taught me how to teach people, but you taught me how to podcast like a madman.
Ah, okay, Michael I remember Dean. That. Yeah, and like everything that I taught you has changed since then, especially all the SEO stuff. I wouldn't even bother doing that SEO stuff now.
Your listeners are going to respond, right?
To what?
To an epic show that you put on for what, 6 days a week?
Oh, so good you're Lord. Saying so you're saying that the you said that like I was talking about how I taught this guy Nick some stuff today, and you're saying I taught you how to teach stuff. You're saying you were the test case that I taught, right?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that like during Porkfest you'd like grab me by the head and put a bunch of knowledge in my head like Matrix style, and I didn't remember it.
No,
I think that happened.
You put a whole bunch of knowledge into my head like 3 years ago.
Is it still there, or did it fall out yet?
A little bit fell out along the way. Like as you know, Michael, I took like kind of like a year long break.
Yeah,
I was just I mean this stuff is overwhelming sometimes. If you're like luckily for you, you get to do this stuff all day long. You get to do as much of it or as little of it as you want. I have to get home from work at 5 o'clock and be in the mood to do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I work the typical 9 to 5 and I try to fit in as much, you know, Liberty Media as I can, if you will.
Yeah.
Tell me more, brother. Well, I'm glad that I had somebody to kind of show me the ropes, you know, and that's legitimately where you came in. Drew Phillips gave me a hard time one day. He was like, so what, are you like Michael Dean's lackey?
Who said this?
Drew Phillips. He's a big Bitcoin guy.
I know Drew Phillips.
Yeah, he's one of those Arizonians.
Why does he think he – why did he ask – was he kidding or was he serious?
Well, this was back in the TDP days, the Disindoctrination Podcast days. I mean, believe it or not, that was like a couple of years ago. That's so 2012, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're on to bigger and better things. I've been listening to this back before it was the Freedom Fiends podcast.
When it was the Guns and Weed podcast for the first 10 episodes?
I heard about was it only 10 episodes?
I think was it was like it? 6 actually.
Yeah. Man, it feels like so much longer than that because like I heard about the Guns and Weed The Road to Freedom. I heard about that movie somewhere in some like little snippet of information in between like a Free Talk Live commercial and I remember like, okay, that directed me to your podcast. And then I was listening to this podcast. So I was like, oh my God, I love what these guys do. How can I figure out how to do the same thing myself? Like just, apparently all you need is a little bit of equipment and a microphone in front of you and you're good to go.
Cool. Cool. That is true. I just got an email from Chandler who's, instead of talking, he's typing to me because you're talking, which is good. He didn't interrupt, which is cool. It's good radio. But he said, my kitten is dragging around a huge trash bag in her teeth and I'm trying not to laugh. That's pretty funny.
I can hear my kitten like scrapping at the door outside right now.
Yeah, and you know, people think I have a huge ego, but let me show you what I don't. We could talk about me all night, and I love it, but let's talk about your kitten. You have a new kitten.
All right. Here's a question for you, being a cat connoisseur.
I only have the finest cats. Yeah.
How do you keep them off your wires and stuff? Like, oh, I've got.
You can't, man. They'll go on them. As long as they're not chewing on them, you're fine.
Like I've seen this product called, like, PB Gone.
Oh, you mean keep them from peeing on your wires or just laying on them?
No, just like if I could only have a spray bottle to spray all over the stuff. Like I don't want my kitten. Like we have a newborn kitten. Like I don't know. She's like maybe 9 months now, maybe 3 months now. But it's like, I'm sorry, 9 weeks now, maybe 3 months now. But it's like, okay, how do we keep her off the table, keep her from scratching stuff up, and keep her from playing? Like, I feel like she walks into our little quote-unquote studio. I'm using air quotes right now. How do we keep her from, like, playing with all the wires and stuff? She must have bought a webcam.
You can't, man. And, you know what? There's people that actually try to, like, keep cats off their furniture, and they shouldn't have cats. And I can understand not wanting – I'm not saying you shouldn't have cats, but, like, trying to keep cats off something is like trying to keep a smell from coming in your house when you open the windows. I mean, it's going to flow, man. Cats flow.
I mean, I just keep the door closed now. I figure out whether or not she's in or out of our little, we call it the Oval Studio. It used to be the Oval Office. Now it's the Oval Studio. And like, just anytime she comes in here, like, it could be a live show or whatever, and I pick her up and I take her outside and I close the door. I'm like, no, you're not allowed in our bedroom either. Like, you have the kitchen, you have the living room, you have, I guess you would call it the dining room or whatever. Just stay out of the studio in our bedroom and we're fine.
Ain't gonna happen.
We can't sleep with her there.
I will shut doors to keep cats from coming in if they're bothering me from sleeping, but they will also just claw at the door. But, you know, and they'll stop eventually. Yeah, I mean, I'll even, like, you know, sometimes my older cat, the 16-year-old one that's really plump, you know, she snores as loud as a human almost, and she'll wake me up. So I'll put her out in the living room sometimes on the sofa and shut my door and put like a sweater up against the crack at the bottom of the door, like, you know, or like a, you know, a hoodie to keep the noise down.
Now, Chandler, I see your Skype image there.
Yes.
But I got to ask, Michael, how young is your youngest cat?
You there?
I'm there.
Yeah, we're all here.
Okay. You're talking to him or me?
Michael, how old is your youngest cat?
I only have two ages of cats for three cats. I have the 16-year-old one that I've had since she was three.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. And we have two younger cats that are about seven now that we got when they were six months. And they're still
okay. They're
still very playful. They're almost like kittens, even though they're cats. We call them the squittens.
Yeah? But
yeah. Yeah.
So, I can pick up this little feather toy we have. It's like a maybe a 24-inch long rod that you hold with a 24-inch long string with some feathers hanging off of the end of it. This kitten loves this. She will like chase you down across the room to bat at these feathers. Oh, we trimmed her nails today.
You gotta be careful with that.
We took the tip off. Just the tip.
And I never trim their back nails. They don't need it. The front nails I usually trim. I don't always even trim the thumb, just the four front ones that claw into me. I mean, Peanut's nails were getting so long and sharp because we're gone.
Oh,
you know?
Man, they have five claws.
Yeah. But you got to be, like you said, you can't get down to the quick because there's nerves and blood in it. But you could look at them and you can see, like, just the clear end, like you said, just the tip. And they
What had happened?
What
had happened was, I was holding the kitty and I was, like, kind of like, kitty. Like, pussing. I was pushing.
You were pussing.
Like, I would push my thumb down on top of her paws and like kind of like grab the the middle grip sort of thing and just kind of like eject each claw, and then like I was holding on to her and like kissing her between each nail, and Annie would my fiance, she would take the clippers and just kind of like
it's a two-man job. It really is,
apparently. So I thought I would be able to handle it myself, but it's not that's not the case. You need somebody to hold her and like so we would snip the tip. And not in a, you know, malicious way. And I'd kiss her after each one. I was like, okay, good girl. And she did really good for like the first three. And then, but so we got down to like the fourth thing, and she just would not hold still. It was jumping out of my hands. So we took like a mental record, grabbed her like 5 minutes later, not even, and we just did the rest. And then as soon as we got all of the tips snipped, she would, you know, like I put her on her little cardboard thing she can scratch her nails on, and she did great. She did great. But we didn't even get to the rear paws. So is that a thing? Like you don't need to snip the rear paws?
The rear ones never get really, really sharp. And they need them. I think they need them for balance and running and stopping and stuff. It's kind of like their brake pads. Yeah, the front ones are only for self-defense. And, you know, if you have a completely indoor cat, you kind of react. We have to act like the state. We disarm our cats, but you know, they're wild beasts we have in our homes. And if they're armed, they're going to mess us up, man. That's just how it works.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. My oldest cat, I never had him declawed, and he's pretty good. I'll get him going.
I would never do that to a cat.
Yeah, I heard, like, the kitten we got was declawed when we got her, and I heard what they do to declaw cats, and it's like, ooh, scary.
I wouldn't want to have any, you know, living being in my presence that thought that maybe I declawed them. We'll sit down there on the couch for a few minutes and try and cut through as many as we can. And all we did, we just took the, literally, like you said, Michael, like, we took the tips off. It was literally just the little spiky points at the top.
Yep.
You know, we were more concerned about like giving extra room than getting into the nub, you know?
Yep. And we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends Anarcho Cat Care Radio Show when we get back from this trip to the cat market, where you can buy cats for Bitcoin.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Windowless bunker rock through your ear holes into your cerebral cortex. That's us.
So, I only have one window.
Yeah, I have one window too, and it's small. It's so hot in here, but I can't bring my fan in because that's all you'd hear if I did.
Yeah, I open all the windows in the summer to do a show, and then I have a ceiling fan on, but it's pretty quiet, and I'm pretty much naked. I'm in my underwear with a cat. Yeah, we're a bunch of
Imagine that,
dude, sitting around. Yeah. Hi, girls. We're a bunch of dudes sitting around talking to each other in our underwear.
I had my old gym shorts and my cat blocked out of the room because I didn't want to get in trouble for being distracted.
I think you really have to rethink the trying to herd cats, man. It's impossible. They herd you. Cats herd their owners.
Speaking of which, I think you did a pretty good job of herding bunch fiends. Of cats at Porkfest.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new button. You know, Davi made all the Pork Scout buttons. He and I came up with a new one.
Yeah.
Originally, it said, you know, not my circus, not my monkeys, which is that great Polish phrase for like, I don't want to be involved in your problems. but I said to make one for cat herders that and change it to my circus, my monkeys. And it's got a picture of, it's like a stylized flying monkey from Wizard of Oz that kind of looks like lysergicized.
I saw the graphics. I've seen a lot of graphics come out of that
being
guy.
By cats.
You know, the we had that picnic there, which was like, you know, the main function of it was to meet everybody and get them together and give them thank everybody for being a fiend and buy them dinner, basically buy them lunch, but and have some home cooked food for them, which is really cool. But the really strong secondary purpose of that event was to get a group picture, because I knew we'd never all be in one place at the same time, all 14 of us. And
at the same time, we got a banging steak dinner out of the whole thing.
God, yep. That was so good. I gotta say, that was probably the highlight of Porkfest for me, hanging out, getting to talk with everyone, and then having some yummy food.
Well, Lou is a hell of a cook, and it was like, you know, other than like the orgies and sex stuff and kink stuff in the big dome tent, which I don't even know if it exists. I've just heard rumors and I'm not going in there. I don't want to put it this way. Anybody that goes in things like that generally is people you don't want to see naked. And I know that cause I've been one of them before, so I ain't going in there. But, you know, really other than that, I think our event was one of the only absolutely private events at Porkfest. And it was a nice declaration of libertarian principles of like creating autonomous, spontaneous, you know, keep off my property space and having our own thing.
The hippies showed up for a little while.
Yeah, but we vibed them out. So did so did the New Yorkers.
Oh, Michael, you got to watch Derek J's video.
I saw it. It's like 2 minutes long and it's great. It's high def and everybody gets in it.
It's very short, yes, but he wraps around the entire thing there.
Derek's quite the documentarian.
Yeah, yeah.
Derek J of the Victimless Crime Spree fame.
All right, so Michael Dean, is it documentary or documentary?
Well, a documentary is the type of film. A documentarian is one who makes documentaries.
Oh, okay. So there's a documentarian. All right, so
yeah, Derek and I are documentarians. We make documentaries.
All right, so if you're watching one of these, what are you?
You're a film lover.
You're watching a what?
You're watching a documentary film or a documentary.
All right, I'm sorry. I just hear so many people out of New Hampshire or New England, if you will, they call it a documentary.
Well, that's because they speak differently than proper people.
Well, snap, I guess I gotta hang out for one more if you guys don't mind.
Okay, you can. Yeah, if you have a little more whiskey, and we'll be back after this trip to the cat market. The cat market. The free meow. Cat market.
Meow.
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 All right, I'm going to get my kitty.
Kitty.
I want to hear your kitty squeak.
That's exactly what my kitten does.
Get your kittens. Get your kittens. Hold your kittens tight. Arm yourself with kittens. We'll be back. Everyone listening should get their kittens, too. We're going to have a big kitten party.
I'm getting mine.
I was going to say call in with your kittens, but I don't like to talk to people. I'm in a windowless bunker, man. I never leave here. I didn't go to Pork Fest. That was all just photoshopping. I wasn't even there.
It was all a big ferment.
Worms.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean. Freedom Fiend extraordinaire. Head fiend. Head worm wrangler. Yeah, I don't really look at myself as a leader. I look at myself as I'm just the guy saying, here's a chair if you want to sit here. While everyone's playing musical chairs to like two different jazz musics playing at the same time, like jazz on jazz.
Michael, so, I have to thank you.
For what? What
did never I do to asking you? Me, I have to thank you for never asking me, what does the fox say?
I don't even, I've heard that meme, but I don't know what it is. What is
it? It's a horrible music video, dude. My kid showed it to me and I was just like, no.
I get it all the time.
I don't know what it means. You know what? You know what I got crazy. When I was a kid? When I was a kid, there was this song that people would sing at me all the time that made me want to screech. It was this song, this pop song that was like really wimpy and kind of hippie and like kind of like sounds like something you'd sing at like church camp around the fire. And it went, "My name is Michael. I got a nickel. I got a nickel, shiny and blue," or something, shiny and new. There was that song. I'm not singing very well because I'm singing quietly because my wife's asleep. But then there was another song, which is an actual song that people sang at church camp around the fire. And it was, "Michael, row your boat ashore. Hallelujah." Yeah. So
I've got a buddy named Jeremiah and he hates it when we start.
But that's a better song than the two that I had,
Not according to him.
My friend's hardcore punk band, The Landlords in Charlottesville, used to do a really revved up cover of Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. It was a pretty cool song. Cool version.
So I'm trying to contain this kitty in my lap right now, but she might be going out the door here in a second.
So we are literally cat herding on the radio.
We sure are.
Trying to cat herd.
No, you guys told me. I was like, I'm going to go get my kitten.
Have you ever seen, there's an ad, it was a TV ad that like I never saw on TV, but it went viral on YouTube. It was an ad for like some business national like business service company, like business support, will do your IT work or whatever. And like, it was basically they saying, we'll herd your cats. And they had this, it was like cowboys herding cats across the plains. Did you ever see that one?
No,
it was obviously done with like, photo green screen and whatever, but it was great, man. Search cowboys herding cats on YouTube and I'm sure it'll come up pretty near the top. It is a beautiful thing. Such a great analogy, man. So I think that people that the badge that Davi made, that Davi and I came up with of my monkeys, my circus should be the badge that you get awarded or award yourself for cat herding above and beyond the Call of Duty. Like, I think Carla and everybody that puts on Pork Fest should get this badge. And I think that, anybody that runs or like me that runs a radio show with 12 co-hosts should get this badge. It's that kind of badge.
I think Lou and I should have got that badge Thursday night because,
Lou should definitely get it for cooking dinner too. But, so you guys, when did you do a show? You did a show without me, right?
Well, yeah. So we did karaoke. I think it was Diana, Christian, Lou, Nikki, Sean, a few other people. And,
you missed me.
Because I walked, you did Afro Man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I walked in right as you guys had started that. It was excellent.
Okay. So Diane and Christian came on after us. Diane got cut off like halfway through doing this awesome rendition of Blondie's Heart of Glass.
Heart of Glass, yeah. And then Christian did the safety dance, which was just amazing. Yeah. It was awesome.
And Diana stayed up on stage. They were doing the whole dance. Yeah, they were doing the safety dance. Literally.
I don't like karaoke, but I think I'm really sad I missed Christian doing the safety dance.
Oh, you would have loved it.
Because he's a cool, I wouldn't say goofy, but there's like a certain like classy comedic aspect to his like physicality. Like he's very graceful, but he's just kind of struts around like hey, like that. Oh, and he's French. He's got a French accent, and I could just see that.
It was great.
French-Canadian.
Yeah, which is the best kind of French to be.
Not if you're from France. They're like, yeah. You know, I actually had I had someone translate French for a video I did for Meowbit, and I had the guy who translated and recorded it for me was French Canadian, and I posted it on YouTube, and like all these people were like, thanks for doing this. This is really good, and the software looks cool, but did you have to use a Canadian? Like they kind of French people totally. Look at French Canadians kind of the way that like people from New York City look at people from Alabama or something.
Well, or
Maryland for that matter.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I moved down to Florida and I took French class, and my French teacher was they teach European French down there.
Well, la-dee-poo.
Yeah, exactly. And he used to call me like Yankee. He never learned my name or whatever. That like he'd say, so how do you say that in French, Yankee? And he'd call on me all the time just to hear my accent. And they used to make fun of the Canadian accent. Wicked.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So anyway, we did karaoke, and I did the most horrible rendition of Poison by Alice Cooper. Like I kept waving to the board op to up the monitor because the music was so low you could barely hear it. So it was, you know, doubly horrible because all you could hear was me belting out this song. We did that, and then by that time, I think we were all well on our way to intoxication, and we went. I was like, "Let's do that podcast," because Lou and I had talked about doing an after-hours podcast, and so we trudged up to my campsite, and I have this little card table. I cleared it off, and I lit a oil lamp. So there was about, I don't know, 8 or 9 of us sitting around my table with an oil lamp. I got my laptop out, and Lou had his mic, and I had mine. And the fact that we could even get the turn the computer on and, you know, get the microphones plugged in was amazing. But we did. And it was kind of funny because I remember thinking, like, we're doing this totally disorganized, horrible podcast without the teacher in the classroom. You know, Michael's gone. He's gone to bed. He's resting well. And all the kids are up to no good sort of thing. And it was fun. It was hard because I had Lou was pretty good. He pretty much kept the mic right to him. And he had people on his side leaning close. But I had a lot of people on my side. So I just kind of kept the mic floating. And the volume levels were really low. So I had to edit that. That took quite a bit of editing. But eventually, we did this at like 1 in the morning. I think we did it for about 25 minutes. And some guy came up to us. He's like, you know, it's 1 in the morning. And some of us are trying to sleep. And we felt really bad, you know, because we didn't want to be jerks or anything. And my kid comes out and she's like, oh, Dad, you're keeping us up. And so we were like, all right, cool. We'll just relocate to the media room. And we went down to the media room, and then my laptop Bill Gates'd on me. I could not get it working.
Bill Gates'd on you. Blue screen of death, is that what that means?
Well, I guess, yeah. I have a MacBook, but it just like I turned it on and I just couldn't get anything to work. I just got the spinning wheel.
I think that means you got into technical difficulties dealing with Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I have to make an announcement. I'm kind of ashamed to say I'm back on Facebook. My username on there is Michael Fien, and I'm liking it. I guess I'm liking it because I actually went out and met a bunch of people in real life that are on the internet. And
you admit it now.
I just shared something that Chandler sent. Yeah. You know what? I also, this is really cool. Somebody posted a picture today. This guy that I hung out with at the campground, at the campfire. It was basically like we were walking around and it was late at night and we were about to go back to the hotel, but it was kind of post raining, one of the early nights, and it was really cold.
Was that Porkfest 2014?
Yeah,
by
it was.
The way.
And we just found a fire. There was one guy sitting at it. And we said, "Hey, can we sit down here?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure, man." And we sat and talked to him for about 20 minutes, and then somebody else came up. You know, some other friends of his came up, and then we finally left. And And he posted today that a picture of him holding my book, $30 Film School. And he said, dude, I had no idea that the guy I was hanging out with at my campfire is the guy who wrote this book I studied in college in film class.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so professors are still using it.
Yep, I guess. I guess. Nice. I've heard that a few colleges use it. It's I don't know.
Well, that's
go ahead. Over.
Oh, I was just going to say that's another thing about Porkfest. More than one time, we had, you know, I was the fire master because, you know, we went out and got a bunch of wood out back where they were clear cutting and came back with wood. And I love to start my fires in my fire pit. So we were sitting there having a beer, watching the fire. And more than once, people would come up and just be like, hey, man, can I sit by your fire? And you start talking to people. I mean, we talked to this one guy who was from San Diego and he had just accepted a job in New Hampshire and signed up for the Free State Project and everything. So it's really cool that when people just come and sit with you and start yakking. That's one of the things I love about Porkfest so much.
Yeah. The guy's name, by the way, was Rob Freebeard McNair, and he had a quite free beard.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. Yeah. He's a fun guy.
He goes by Robin sure. Nair also.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Michael, man. I got to tell you, Chandler, likewise, it was really nice to meet you guys finally in Meat Space. You know?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I guess that's probably like the number one thing that comes out of going to Porkfest is you get to meet so many people that you've dealt with online.
Yep.
Michael, I've been listening to all the Freedom Fiends episodes so far from like I'm halfway through Saturday's episode. I literally listened to Freedom Fiends for 8 hours today.
Yeah. Indoctrinated. It's like, you know, that in LibPair, that's what we would do with statists who still want to like you know, oppress us. We would, you know, and point guns at us. Is we would, yeah. And this is kind of controversial, and I'm kind of half kidding, but I'm kind of half serious. I really think we would take them to libertarian re-indoctrination camps and throw them in a room, like maybe like Derek Slopey's ambulance, you know, mobile command studio, and just expose them to like, you know, 72 hours straight of Freedom Fiends and Bad Quaker at volumes where they could not possibly go to sleep, and we'd poke them with a stick if they went to sleep.
All right, real quick, Chandler, how many Porkfests have you gone to?
This year was my second one.
That was your... So did you go last year, I take it?
Yep.
All right. Michael, are you going to go again?
I'm going to... We're going to book our hotels the minute they announce the firm dates, and we're going to book our airline tickets within a couple months after that. And we're going to the market where you can buy kittens with Bitcoin. We'll be back with more with Chandler and Garrett after this trip to the market.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
I just drafted
when you.
When
you shop online.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and talking to Chandler St. Pierre and Garrett Fox, G Fox. Okay, G Holla. Fox. What are our names? I am the, I'm not the shiny badger. What are you guys?
I'm the jabbering coon cat.
There you go.
I'm the funky fox, my friend.
And I am the iron hamster. Those are our wrestling names on the Freedom Fiends. Everyone's got them. They're all pretty good, although I think Davy Barker's is the best, the shiny badger. Go ahead.
Yeah, that one's great. I was going to say, speaking of wrestling names, do you ever read the Iron Sheik's Twitter feed?
No, the Iron Sheik, man, that guy was a wrestler like when I was a kid, wasn't he?
I know, yeah, and he is just a riot. I've watched a few of his YouTube videos from later years, and his Twitter feed is pretty funny. Check it out sometime.
I feel like we should have had a TLC match, Michael.
What's that?
Tables, ladders, and chairs.
What's that?
I set up a ladder after I have beaten you to a pulp. I lay you down on a table and forget the chairs. I beat you up a little bit with the chairs. And then I climb up a ladder and elbow drop you on the table.
That sounds horrible. And, you know, I'm actually a lot stronger than I look. I've had a few people try to fight me before, and it's not pretty.
Not after you get smashed in the face with a fake folding chair.
Well, not, you know, me, man. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
And I'm also of that opinion. There's a hip hop line that Nima likes. It's something like, why would I fight when I got a gat?
Yep. So where did the wrestling names come from?
Well, mine was first. Yeah, I said I was the Iron Hamster because the this show, the nighttime show, came out of Michael Dean After Dark, which was the 3-month-long intermediary between. It was kind of like the process of Nima quitting. I wanted to go to 7 nights a week. He couldn't even do 2 days a week. And I was getting – it all started with him having a baby and then getting people to fill in for paternity leave on Sundays for 2 months. And, you know, that's where we got all the hosts from. And then I went to start to do this other show at night. Then he said he couldn't do The Fiends anymore. So I just changed that show to The Freedom Fiends. And that show's – like tagline was Michael Dean After Dark, challenging the hamster in your brain. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you awake, please tune in. And, you know, the hamster in your brain, that's a saying. It's not terribly popular, but I've heard it before. It's basically the idea of like a hamster running on a rusty wheel in your brain. Like when you have insomnia or when you're worried about something or you're up thinking and just can't get off one topic, you have a hamster in your brain. And that's kind of because I was thinking a lot about the difference in the audience you have between a weekend show and a weeknight, middle of the night show. Like the middle of the night show.
Sure.
You get lunatics listening, and that's a good thing. And actually, we got some of them calling in. And here's what happened. Like, I actually stopped taking calls, and I don't want that guy to think he won, but there was a guy who kept calling in and using different numbers and using Skype and faking it and trying to cuss on the air. And really, really, like, you know, for a while, it was just like, okay, I'm not going to let this guy call in. And then it was like, really what just happened was I just realized I don't like taking calls. I mean, we will occasionally take calls on Skype from people we sort of know.
Thanks for accepting my call.
Yeah, and you're one of them. But, you know, it's kind of like Free Talk Live, and it's great that Free Talk Live does this. Somebody has to do it in Liberty. You know, their motto is Free Talk Live, where you control the airwaves. And I say Freedom Fiends motto is Freedom Fiends, where we control the airwaves. It's like I don't want random people, even good callers. It's like I want to talk in one direction. I'm not really interested in having a conversation on my hard fought radio hours. Like I bleed through the eyes to get on radio stations, like each station, and I'm not going to risk it, first of all, to have someone cuss if we don't hit the cuss dump, and second of all, just I'm not that interested in what people have to say, and most of them don't sound very good. But, you know, if you get one of these mics we recommend and have a link to, and then you add me and I know you, or have at least chatted you on the internet and, you know you're a good person, I might let you on for a segment now and then. And it seems pretty much like I said that so many times that the only person that ever calls in is Nathan. So Nathan,
luckily your show is called Freedom Fiends and not No Free Speak Talk Live.
Yeah, no free speech. Well, it's not, it doesn't violate people's free speech to even if we like hang up on them or ban them or anything. That's a thing that's going around. Like people are like,
it's your property.
Yeah,
it's
like with Porkfest. Porkfest can say who they want there. It's private property. And anybody who doesn't agree with that doesn't understand anarchism and liberty because they're saying that private property should be turned into the commons. You see, the thing is, it's not a violation of free speech to not let you on my airwaves. It's a violation of free speech only if I try to keep you off of anyone's airwaves.
Yeah,
exactly.
We'll be back with more on the Freedom
Can Fiends. We do a meow and worms?
Yes.
Meow.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, talking to Garrett, and somebody's calling in, but Nathan, we can't take a third call. We're not going to right now because I just said on the radio that, yeah, we don't ever take calls from anybody except Nathan. He's the only one that calls in, but he's calling in, but I can't take it right now because we got stuff to say and I want to go on a ramble here. We'll take him for the last segment or when you leave, Garrett. How's that?
Nathan, you just got to hold your horses, brother.
Yeah, hold your water.
Herd your cats, buddy.
Hold your mud. So anyway, you asked me, I went off on a rant on the air. And furthermore, people don't understand anarchy if they're trying to say who should have what at their private thing. So here's what I think. The reason I came up with wrestling names for us is because it's kind of a joke about how when I was a kid, like I'm 50, so like 40 years ago, you know, when I was like 10, the only heroes, and I don't really like the idea of heroes, but, you know, I didn't know better then. Like, I don't believe the great man theory. I'm against it, just like Ben Stone. But there's people I really appreciate what they do, and they inspire me. Like, I'd say this kid, Nick, who's 15, has inspired me, even though he's learning stuff from me, because, like, he's doing stuff I never did at 15. At 15, I was writing essays in school about why the government needed to, like, control population and sterilize people for having too many babies. I literally wrote that in high school.
And when you were 15, I was negative 25, I think. negative 35.
I'm not 70. Yeah. So, you know, we really, it's like, in a way, I'm almost glad I didn't discover liberty till then, because, and I'm really glad I didn't have computers back then. I mean, I'd probably be like running the world or in jail. Yeah, I'd probably be in jail.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the heroes we had when we were a kid were so dorky. Like, the heroes that we were presented with were like, you know, astronauts and Hulk Hogan. Like, astronauts are kind of cool, but they're totally status. They're all like Air Force pilots who are, you know, put in space by to put AC. American flags on some rock, you know,
and AC.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was more like Evel Knievel and the Iron Sheik. That was like the kind of options, or Farrah Fawcett, you know, that's like who we had to look up to. And, you know, we didn't have like Pete Eyre or Stefan Molyneux or Nima Vedati or Nick Hazelton or, you know, Nikki Darling or Diana. We didn't have people like that to look up to. And now I feel like there's so many more options of much cooler people for young people to look up to. So I just made fun of, I was making fun of that fact of how dorky heroes were when I was a kid by giving us all wrestling names.
Call me Neil Foxstrom, then, Neil, if you will. you know, I can't believe it. I specifically brought my NASA t-shirt for somebody to give me grief about it. Michael, I guess you had already left. I think I wore this t-shirt after you had already left. I mean, you'll notice from all the Freedom Fiends Saturday episode pictures, I was rocking my NASA t-shirt loud and proud. And I was amazed that nobody gave me grief about it. And I think people understood that I was wearing it to be ironic, maybe. I'm not entirely sure, but I feel like the Chandler, I can't speak for you, but I feel like you have an understanding for the privatized space programs that are popping up left and right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're amazing. They're going to accomplish so much more than NASA has in the last 40 years.
Well, NASA recently said that they decided that their new mission statement was to make Muslims feel good about themselves. And it's like,
really?
You know, and I... I like Muslims. I have no problem with Muslims, but I'm kind of like, that's ridiculous. Why is that the mission statement of a space program?
Forget government programs altogether. Like yes, I'm sorry. Like
and
NASA,
the thing is, dude, NASA,
you
like,
had your shot. You had your shot.
And here's what they had their shot, and they turned into the drone program. I mean, literally, like when I was a kid, when I was 5 years old in 1969, I sat on my daddy's knee, and we both were just transfixed watching a man walk on the moon.
Were you there for that?
I watched it on a black and white.
You were
TV,
watching but, on your top box set.
Yeah.
What do they call them?
Set tops. I don't know what you're talking about. But we watched it, and it was just mind-blowing. And I was like, it gave me so much hope. And it's like what I didn't realize was literally that was just the public relations policy for the drone program.
Sure. Well, no, don't do that. Like I had to I got my fiance Annie to sit down with me and watch Apollo 13 not too long ago. And before we started, she had never seen it before. So I was like, before we start watching this, I want you to think of yourself as a kid, you know, back in the 60s, whenever it was. And I just want you to think, like, we hadn't gone to the moon yet. She's kind of a moon truther, so we won't go into that. But I cannot even imagine sitting in my living room with my parents watching something go land on the moon for the very first time. Go ahead, plant your flag, whatever you need to do. The technology has gotten us there. And then all of a sudden, 30 years later, like, we're not even – like where's our moon bases and stuff?
Well, it was all a political stunt. That's what kills me. Like, a lot of – I know somebody who worked didn't work on the moon project but was in those circles, worked for NASA and stuff. And a lot of the technology that came out of the moon landing was cool. It's just a shame that it couldn't have been done in the private sector. And I think had it been, it could have been. And had it been, I think we would have a lot more.
Well, yeah, they promised us flying cars, and instead we got spy drones and bomb drones.
Hey, guys, that being said, I'm going to go tinker with my 3D printer a little bit. I want to let you guys go do the rest of the show here.
Okay. It's been really good having you on, and if Nathan wants to call in as soon as you hang up, he can too.
You know what, Nathan, I am stepping aside just for you. What? Not really. Michael Chandler, I love the fact that I got to meet you guys at Pork Fest.
Yeah, awesome. Man, it was awesome.
I do got to wake up in like 5 hours or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, me too.
You're building the future because you have a 3D printer and you are a CAD guy. You're a CAD operator.
Oh, you should call me the Funky CAD.
There you go.
Or something.
All right. Worms, brother, man.
I'll keep posted on the progress. Much love, guys. You take care. I'm out of here.
Bye. So, yeah, man. Chandler.
Yo.
Get a word in edgewise now.
Jeez, I don't even know what to say. It's all been said, you know.
Tell me more about Porkfest. I'm going to go call Nathan back.
Yeah, Porkfest is just great. When I was younger, I used to have one day a week where I'd go on vacation. That was to go to Ozfest. And Ozfest was really cool. Now, like, Porkfest is Ozfest, but it's longer and it's more liberty-minded. Better, it's so
better,
amazing.
Better music. Well, less loud music. Hey, we got Nathan.
You know, I Hello. Caught hey, Nathan. Irish. Hey, Nathan. I caught the Irish band a little bit.
They were amazing.
They were awesome, and I don't usually typically get into that sort of music, but I was like, right on, man. These guys are cool. Did you catch the one-man band?
No.
He sings, plays drums, and guitar. He was there last year, too. Pretty good.
Hey, Nathan, what's up?
I was just working on my 2D bicycle here, and I thought Garrett would already be off, so when I called. But at any rate, I'm glad he graciously stepped aside, but not really.
I had to go. So what's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to talk about cats and guns and weed.
All right, go ahead, man. Cat, let's do guns and weed first.
Well, I want to thank you for putting the DVD rip on the torrent because I had some internet problems last week and I couldn't run the torrent. And if you hadn't put that DVD rip on there, I wouldn't have been able to watch it at the same time or around the same time you guys were at Porkfest.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you know, in a few days, you're going to be able to get the torrent of the anarchist version, which is going to be at least 20 minutes shorter and much better.
Is that all 20 minutes? I thought it'd be more than that because that guy with the gun.
Which guy?
I forget who he was. The guy
Sheriff
with the
Richard
gun at the shooting range.
Oh,
no,
he was the black dude.
He was the cool.
The black dude.
The black dude with the gun.
Yeah,
he was really cool.
When you said you were at Porkfest, when you said you should make an anarchist cut of this, I figured, all right, so it's going to be like 15, 20 minutes of movie, and it's going to be you guys shooting guns and people smoking weed.
No, because here's the thing. Like, the black guy, his name is Lou. Him and Sheriff Mack both talked an inordinate amount. They're both in the film a lot because they were great. And they're both talking a lot about the Constitution, but they don't only talk about the Constitution. They talk about natural rights a lot, too. And so there's a lot of them still in there. You'll see. Yeah, I'm also going to put up... On YouTube, I'm going to put up a separate video that's just going to be everything I cut, like one clip right after the other, so you can see what I cut. And if I do a DVD of it, that'll be the DVD extra.
So the natural rights thing got me thinking this afternoon, and this is just a question I want to throw out to the fiends. I've seen a lot of talk about, from, you know, UN statists, minarchists, state nationals, sovereign citizens... Why is it that they think I need to be part of a collective called a nation or a state for my natural rights to be recognized?
I don't think that.
I know, but a lot of people out there do, and it boggles my mind. Like, there's a guy I talked to. He's I don't know if he's a – I guess technically he's a state national.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Well, it's somebody who does not acknowledge the United States, considers them a corporation. Kind of magic words.
Sovereign citizen.
It's very similar. He does not call himself a sovereign citizen. Very smart guy. And
what's he call himself? A state national? I've never heard that.
Yeah,
a
state national.
Never heard of that.
Yeah,
is there a difference between a state and a nation?
Yes, there is.
Well, is it somebody who wants to have, like, a constitutional government at the state level only?
Well,
that's pretty much what Richard Mack is.
Well, they consider each state an independent nation, kind of like the founding of the country.
Well, that was the theory of some of the founder fathers.
And regardless of all that, okay, like, I agree with a lot of things he says. He's a smart cat and everything. He's definitely thinks – he doesn't get ANCAPs, though. He thinks we're all ANCOMs, which I've tried to explain to him. But my thing is – I don't understand why any of these cats feel like I have to be part of that collective to have my natural rights recognized.
There's two reasons I can see why that comes up a lot. Like, why people who almost get it, people who are like, we need much smaller government, why they still say we need a constitution or we need the state or we need states' rights or any of that. I'll explain it when we get back. I have a theory. I have two theories.
Theories. I like theories.
Worms.
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 Stick around, Nathan.
Cool.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom Fiends, yo, this is Michael Dean. I want to do a shout out here to a new fan of ours. in Cameroon, Central Africa. I got this email from this guy today. I think his name is pronounced Ako or Ako Yusef. First name is A-K-O. Last name Y-U-S-U-F. He wrote and he said he loves the show. And he said he's listening on a satellite decoder, which is pretty cool because I didn't know we were on any satellite signals over the continent of Africa. Because I know we're on the GCN satellite signal going to stations, which is – it's not encrypted. It could be received by a receiver. We're on the LRN – KU band satellite receiver, but those two only go to North America and not even like, you know, a little bit into Central America, but not even further than that, like just North America. And somebody called in who was listening on something, and I actually looked it up, and it was this really weird, like, I don't know, it was all this like sovereign citizen kind of radio shows and us. And I forget what it was called, but that was one too. But that was only in North America too. So somebody, I wrote him back, and hopefully he'll write me back and say what network or what satellite channel or satellite system. But apparently we're broadcasting into space and all over the Earth now because apparently we're on a satellite signal that broadcasts to at least Central Africa. That's pretty mind-blowing to me.
That's really mind-blowing. That's awesome,
yep.
Man.
Yep. So I want to answer your question real quick with my theory of why people who hate government think we need some government and love the Constitution. And I think there's two reasons for it. One is I think it's people who grew up, you know, believing what was taught in, you know, public school and back in the day when it wasn't all like socialist indoctrination, it was more like, you know, Republican indoctrination when I was going to school. And before that, you know, going to Boy Scouts, going to Cub Scouts, going to church, going to like be a good American, learn to be a rifleman, learn, you know, like when they taught you, like when they taught riflemanship in public school and things like that, and they taught you to like really internalize the Ten Commandments of the state.
Well, it's really weird, man, because a lot of these state nationals, they believe, and I think accurately so, that the Constitution is just a corporate contract, and they don't, I guess,
accept
that.
Well, they generally believe it up through the 12th Amendment, right?
Well, they believe in the Bill of Rights.
But they believe a couple after that. They don't believe, and they're often considered racist even when they're not, because they don't like anything that came after and including
the 14th. Yeah,
the one that like freed the slaves, but it also made slaves of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, there's a book I read that's actually quite good called The Red Amendment, and it's all about that. But yeah, I don't know.
That book is not good.
Dude, it's good it's good for two reasons. One, it's got Lysander Spooner's treatise, No Treason, which was my first exposure.
That's a sovereign citizen book, though.
It is. And there's a lot of law stuff in there that I can appreciate.
It's
but
all
anyway.
Hogwash, and it won't work in a court of law. But
well, that's
I mean,
the
basically,
thing.
Like what a lot of those people do is they take what should work in ethics, like legally, the law says this, and then they try
exactly.
it in court, and it doesn't work.
They make their own rules.
Yeah. So here's what I think. I think part of it is people who grew up like, you know, with the if you do this and obey this and learn to be a rifleman, it'll all work out okay. Like they grew up believing that. And then I think it also goes back to I don't know the guy's name, but there was a guy. I mean, the beginning of this kind of radio was really like in the late 70s. There was a guy doing shortwave radio. There's actually some like recordings of him on YouTube. I don't even know how to find him, but I've heard him before. I mean, the stuff that like Alex Jones was. I mean, Alex Jones was like five when this stuff was on the radio or maybe not even born. And Alex Jones is really like. Did it before anybody and became big with it and, you know, run, you know, he's the biggest thing on GCN. He's the reason I'm on radio. Without him, you know, he's the tent pole that holds up GCN and I thank him for it. But there's a guy who was doing it like 10 years before Alex Jones has been doing it for like since the 80s. And there's a guy that was doing it in the 70s and I've heard him and he has this kind of like rap of like, you know, the Constitution is true and these people have come along and usurped it and we need to get back. Like, I think one guy came up with that. I don't know his name. Who is he? How do we find him?
I have him on my YouTube. I'll look for it. But hey, Redemption in the Third Act, really quick.
Go ahead.
Everyone should go out and start their own pork fest in their own yard.
Because if there's pork fest everywhere, if there's Liberty Fest everywhere, sooner it'll outnumber the state.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Worms. Thanks for having me on tonight, man.
And thanks, Nathan and Chandler.
Take care.
Worms.
Cool.
Calm the hamster in your brain.